This week, OpenAI shipped a model that beat a game no AI had ever beaten, a voice that talks over you while you think, and an agent that does your job for hours. And the more interesting story was everything that went wrong around it. Welcome to AI in 20 for the week of July 10th, 2026. I'm Bennett, your host.
And I'm Aaron, your co-host. Bennett, here's the thread I kept pulling on. Capability just got cheap and abundant almost overnight. For labs shipped competitive models this week, GPT 5.6, Grok 4.5, a meta image model, most of them cheaper and faster than what led the field a quarter ago. But nearly every other story was about the bill coming due for all that abundance. Benchmarks we can't trust. Agents that leak private data. Executives blindsided by invoices. Capability is no longer the scarce thing. Trust, cost control, and human attention are.
That's the spine of the show. Let's get into it. Story of the week. Aaron, OpenAI didn't ship one thing this week. It reorganized its whole product around a single moment. Walk us through it.
So on July 9th, GPT 5.6 went generally available across ChatGPT, Codex, and the API after weeks gated behind that government safety review we've been tracking, the one that limited it to about 20 vetted partners. And it's tiered by job. There's Sol, the flagship for reasoning and agentic work, at $5 and $30 per million tokens. Terra, roughly GPT 5.5 class at about half the cost. And Luna, cheap and fast. The framing most coverage led with Sol undercuts Anthropic's top model on price while claiming frontier parity. The headline feature is Ultra Mode, where the model spins up its own subagents to break down a hard task.
And there's a benchmark number here that genuinely stood out.
It did. ArcPrize reported GPT 5.6 Sol scored 7.8% on Arc AGI 3, becoming the first verified frontier model to beat a full Arc AGI 3 game. And you have to understand what that benchmark is. It's built around interactive game environments with no instructions, designed specifically to resist saturation. The prior best was Opus 4.8 at 1.5%. At the benchmark's launch in March, the leader managed about a third of a percent. And Arc's own framing is the part I'd underline. Sol wins not because it executes better, but because it correctly orients itself in a new environment first. Figures out where it is before it acts.
Though there's a caveat.
There is, Fable 5 hasn't been run on it yet, so first frontier model comes with an asterisk. But the jump is real.
Now the same day, OpenAI also folded Codex into a unified ChatGPT desktop app and launched something called ChatGPT Work.
Right, and this is the tell. ChatGPT Work is an agent that gathers context across your apps, breaks a goal into steps, and works for hours to hand back finished docs, sheets, slides, even web apps. And earlier in the week, there was GPT Live, a full duplex voice model that listens and speaks at the same time. It murmurs, "Aha," while you're talking and quietly delegates the hard reasoning to another model in the background. On one browsing benchmark, it scored 75% versus 0.7 for the old voice mode.
So what's the bet underneath all of this?
The bet is that the interface is becoming the product. GPT Live's whole pitch is that feeling present matters more than topping a benchmark. ChatGPT Work's pitch is that you hand over an outcome, not a prompt. Both point away from what can the model answer and toward what does working with it feel like. Simon Willison had preview access and described an hour-long dog-walking brainstorm with the voice model.
And yet the rollout was messy.
That's the counterweight, and it's the real story. The unification confused people. It hit the top of Hacker News. Users couldn't tell where casual chat now lived, and renaming the old experience ChatGPT Classic made it sound deprecated. The voice model drew complaints of being over-eager, talking over people. The reaction was, quote, cool and creepy at once, with a genuine argument that replacing human conversation is the last thing AI should optimize for. Bennett, the human factors layer is now where launches succeed or fail, not the spec sheet.
Let's get into the week in AI. And there's a theme that ties the first two stories together. The benchmarks we build businesses on are cracking. Start with a genuinely surprising act of self-correction from OpenAI.
This one I did not expect. OpenAI publicly retracted its own recommendation to use SWE Bench Pro, a coding benchmark it had recently championed, after auditing it and finding it, quote, no longer reliably measures frontier coding capability. They looked at the 731 task public split. Their automated pipeline flagged 200 tasks, about 27%, as broken. Five human engineers flagged 249, over 34%.
Broken how?
Correct solutions rejected by hidden requirements. Contradictory instructions. Overly strict tests. Incomplete grading. Because the tasks were scraped programmatically from repository changes, the problem descriptions, the merged code, and the unit tests don't always line up. And here's the kicker. This is the second coding benchmark OpenAI has pulled the plug on in 5 months. It deprecated SWE Bench verified in February as contaminated.
So why does that matter for a week full of model launches?
Because every leaderboard in every launch this week rests on benchmarks like this. Grok 4.5's Opus class claim. GPT 5.6 terminal bench numbers. When roughly a third of the referee's calls are wrong, every ranking built on it is suspect. It's the perfect frame for a week drowning in vendor benchmark slides. The question to ask is simple. Who's counting and can anyone else check it?
And the second half of that trust theme is about not trusting the agent with the keys. Researchers tricked GitHub's AI agent into leaking private repos.
They're calling it GitLost, disclosed by Noma Labs. And the attack is almost insultingly simple. An unauthenticated attacker just opens a public issue in an organization's public repo, with hidden instructions written in plain English. The agent is a credentialed actor. It has read access across the org's repos, including private ones the attacker can't even see. So you steer it to fetch a private README and post the contents as a public comment.
And there was one detail that lit up Hacker News.
A one-word change bypassed GitHub's guardrails. Prefixing the malicious instruction with the word, additionally, made the model treat it as a benign follow-on task instead of something to refuse. One word. Noma's framing is that prompt injection is to agentic AI what SQL injection was to web apps, a category-wide vulnerability class. And this is exactly our AI plus security lane. The moment you give an agent real permissions inside your infrastructure, natural language becomes an attack surface. And those hard security boundaries inside a model's context window keep proving impossible to enforce.
So one story says don't trust the scoreboard. The other says don't trust the agent with the keys.
Same week, same lesson. Trust is the scarce thing now.
Next theme, the bill comes due. And it's landing on executives who did not see it coming. A big KPMG survey.
2,145 senior leaders across 20 countries. The C-suite is blindsided by usage-based AI pricing. 29% have no idea where their AI costs are even coming from. Only 26% have real-time visibility into AI spend. 22% discover the cost only after the bill lands. And a third admit their own lack of AI knowledge is slowing them down. As Anthropic, OpenAI, and GitHub shift from flat subscriptions to metered billing, spending that used to be subsidized now hits the budget directly.
So the pitch was cheap AI that quietly replaces workers.
And the invoice is the shock. This connects to our sister show, AI in 15, which covered Tesla capping employee AI spend at $200 a week, and Uber blowing its entire 2026 AI budget by April. Adoption was easy. Forecasting the bill is hard.
And there's a widely shared analysis that puts numbers on the anxiety underneath all of it. The coming AI margin collapse.
From Martin Alderson, and it went viral. The trigger is GLM 5.2, an open weights model from the Chinese lab Zhipu. It beats GPT 5.5 on SWE Bench Pro at roughly 1/6 the per token cost, about $1.40 in, $4.40 out, and cheaper still from third-party hosts because the weights are open. Alderson's key distinction is this. DeepSeek's headlines were about training efficiency. The real threat is inference, actually running the model where frontier labs run something like 90% gross margins. When a credible alternative offers comparable quality at half off or more, and switching is trivial because everyone offers compatible endpoints, those margins compress fast.
You have a caveat.
Two, the Hacker News pushback is fair, cloud compute costs collapse too, and the hyperscalers kept fat margins through brand, ecosystem and lock-in, so the collapse isn't guaranteed. And my own skeptical probe subsidized, state-adjacent pricing out of Chinese labs is not the same thing as a genuine cost floor. But this explains why OpenAI is undercutting Anthropic on GPT 5.6, and why Grok 4.5 leads with cheap coding. The whole industry is bracing for commodity inference.
One more, and it's the geopolitics undercurrent. Beijing cracked the door open for NVIDIA's H200.
A notable reversal. Chinese officials reportedly told Alibaba, ByteDance, and DeepSeek they may soon be approved to buy NVIDIA's H200 chips, after months of Beijing resisting. But the strings are the story. The chips would be for training only. Beijing wants inference kept on domestic processors. And the total looks capped under 200,000 units, less than half what the firms asked for. It reads as a pragmatic retreat forced by a real compute shortage, not a change of heart.
And there's a mirror image to it.
That's what caught me. The same week, Beijing is separately weighing curbs on overseas access to its own best models, Qwen, Doubao, GLM. So the US rations chips, China rations models, and everyone quietly admits they still need each other's hardware. Now, healthy skepticism required. This is reporting on internal deliberations, not announced policy. And training only, capped, inference stays domestic is a very conditional door. Don't book it as done.
Aaron, zoom out. The thread.
The abundance trust inversion. A year ago, the scarce resource was capability. This week, for labs shipped competitive models, image generation became a commodity feature. Meta's Muse debuted at number 2 on day 1, and every interesting story was about the friction layer. A benchmark that's 30% broken. An agent that leaks private repos on a one-word trick. Executives who can't read their own invoices. When intelligence gets cheap, the bottleneck moves to trust, cost, and attention.
And the second thread, the interface.
The interface is the new battleground. GPT Live talking over you, ChatGPT work taking an outcome instead of a prompt, Codex folded into ChatGPT. OpenAI is betting the fight is no longer who answers best, but who feels best to work with. And the messy rollout is the evidence that it's genuinely hard. You can win the benchmark and still lose the launch.
The counterweight you'd leave people with?
That the confident numbers are the shakiest part. Grok 4.5's benchmarks are all xAI's own. No independent verification yet. The China H200 story is deliberation, not policy. The margin collapse is a thesis, not an event. In a week where the top coding benchmark just got retracted for being a third broken, the right posture toward every vendor slide is, show me the neutral numbers.
What to watch next week?
Three things. First, the first independent benchmarks on Grok 4.5 and GPT 5.6. The first neutral read on whether Opus Class and Cheaper Than Fable hold up outside vendor slides, especially now that SWE Bench Pro is discredited. Second, whether China's H200 approval becomes actual policy or stays a rumor. And third, whether the margin collapse thesis shows up in any lab's real pricing moves. Capability got cheap this week. Whether anyone can trust it, afford it, or stand to be in the same room with it, that's next quarter's story.
That's your AI in 20 for this week. See you next Friday.